night, I did something I don't think anybody else has ever done. I hit a foul ball and popped up and it broke someone's windshield. I did that twice. In one night, I broke two windshields. So the game had to stop where everybody ran and checked it all out and so forth. And that's my claim to fame at the plate. So I didn't get a medal. I probably got some people who were angry at me. Probably, though, at the last of my bat, I think everybody moved their cars. They would have been safe if they had moved them to the home run section, because I never hit a home run. So that would have been safe if they would have done that. So, okay, well, welcome all of you. We are continuing on in the story. So our lesson five of that, and again, refer to the handouts here. We have some passages. Again, my style is that I don't do a lot of lecture. I kind of depend upon all of you to participate and volunteer and so forth. So we want to encourage you to do so. We're going to, again, continue on with the fact that Jesus is referred to in the scriptures, throughout the entire scriptures. All the scriptures point to him. And a passage that I read last week that I want to continue on this week is Luke chapter 24, and you don't need to turn to that, but I would like to read some important a passage here that I think is really important to get us started this morning. So Jesus has met with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He revealed himself to them as he broke the bread. It occurred to them that was the Lord. They rushed back to Jerusalem, found the disciples, and reported that. And we pick up verse 35, and they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, he, Jesus himself, stood in their midst. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And while he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still, and while they still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Do you have something here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, and all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So that's what we want to do in this Sunday school class. We want to point to the fact that Jesus is focused, featured throughout the entire Old Testament. And as we know, the Old Testament is broken up into the law, into the writings, to the history, to the Psalms, and to the Proverbs. And this morning, we're going to look at some Psalms. We're going to look at some prophecy that, again, point to Jesus Christ. So let's just begin by just a word of prayer. We'll commit this morning to the Lord, and then we'll get after our lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you revealed yourself to us through your Son, and your Word has revealed your Son to us throughout the Scriptures. Points to him, features him, glorifies him. Thank you so much that we have an opportunity to understand your purpose and plan for mankind, your plan of salvation. And so in the sermon today, Phil will talk about how it was such a mystery and how by our human wisdom we could not understand your plan of salvation, but through the Spirit you have revealed it to us through your Word. And so Thank you so much for everyone here getting up an extra hour to be taught. And so, Father, would you be gracious and teach us? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom to enlighten our eyes? And so, Father, would you be gracious and generous and loving and kind to do so? And speaking of that, Father, we have a number of our young people here who will be going to camp starting tomorrow, and some adults. And so, Father, our prayer is that you would enlighten their eyes as they are at camp and experiencing you and focusing on you. And so would you please yourself and honor yourself by showing yourself to them, revealing who you are to them, that they might understand you more and be even more eager to worship you. So, Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this week of camp for the kids. And we commit all of this now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to read. So if you could bear with me, I'm going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 7. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible if you would like. The reason that we want to do this is we're now looking at the Davidic covenant, the covenant God made with David. We've already looked at the Abrahamic covenant. We've looked at the Mosaic covenant last week. We want to look now at the Davidic covenant, focus on that this morning. And so this will help us as we read this, kind of pay attention. It's kind of broken up into three parts. We have David interacting with Nathan, and Nathan's the prophet that served David, and David explains to Nathan what he wants to do. Then God approaches Nathan and says, in that night, and he says, "This is what I want you to communicate to David." And then about two-thirds of the way through, we see David's response once he hears what Nathan has shared with him. So if you'll bear with me, follow along. We want to read this. Got a few questions for you after we read this. Then we're going to look at some scripture from the Psalms and the prophets. And we'll break you up into groups, let you discuss that, kind of report back. And that's what we intend to do this morning. So if you'll bear with me, there's a number of verses here, but just follow along. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and you might recall this, Phil preached on this a year ago, so we want to look at this again. "Now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within tent curtains.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all this in your mind, for the Lord is with you.' But it came about in the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and say to my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall go to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. I like this. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me thus far? And yet this was significant in thine eyes, O Lord God, for thou hast spoken also of the house of thy servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. And again, what more can David say to thee? For thou knowest thy servant, O Lord God. For the sake of thy word and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all this greatness to let thy servant know. For this reason thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, and there is no God besides thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for thee, and awesome things for thy land, before thy people whom thou hast redeemed for thyself from Egypt, from nations and their gods? For thou hast established for thyself thy people Israel as thine own people forever, and thou, O Lord, hast become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as thou hast spoken, that thy name may be magnified forever, by saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast made a revelation to thy servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore thy servant has found courage to pray this prayer to thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are truth. And thou hast promised this good thing to thy servant. Now therefore, may it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing may the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Okay. Couple key verses. Verse 12 and 13, God through Nathan promised this to David. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you and establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Who would that be? Say it real loud. Solomon is David's son, and he will build the physical house. He will build the temple. But we're looking here at something a little deeper. What are we looking at here that God is promising David? The Messiah. The Messiah would come through David's line, and this Messiah would rule. And remember back in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God promised Abraham that God would use him to be a blessing to all the nations. And so the Messiah, David's line, would be a blessing to all the nations. And that includes the United States of America. We're citizens here. Have we been blessed by the Messiah? We have. We have been fortunate to be blessed. So we're one of many nations that have been blessed by the Messiah. That promise is coming true, and now David is realizing this, that God is using he and his line to build that into his overall plan. So what did David understand about these promises? Well, let me just ask you this. What was communicated to David? I mean, David kind of finished with his prayer there, but what can you sense from David that was accomplished or communicated to David through that? We've kind of already mentioned that through his line the Messiah would come. Anything else? What about Israel? What part does Israel play in all of this? His plan was for Israel to be accomplish his name, to favor his name, to glorify his name. Israel was called to do so. And in Solomon's time, it was the greatest nation on earth, and all the people admired and glorified God through Israel. David at the end, I love how he does that. He comes and he sits down before the Lord. Can you picture that? Here's the ark that everyone was so excited to bring into Jerusalem. It was in a tent, and David desired to build a great house, a great temple for that. God says, I'm going to build a house, and I'm pleased to live in a tent. So that was not a desire that I've had forever. But I want, so David comes in and he thanks God for what God has done using him and using the nation of Israel. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is, if you have a handout, we have some passages. We have a passage from Isaiah chapter 9. We want to look at how that passage might fit in to the overall story. We have some from Psalms 89, 16, and 110. So if you've not grabbed a sheet of paper, we want to have you take a look at that right now. Again, Jesus said, the law, the Psalms, the prophets all point to me. We're going to look at some. We've already heard one prophecy. God used Nathan the prophet to explain to David what he intends to do. We want to look at some more now. So what I'd like to do is, again, put you all to work. I would like to have this wing right over here, so the Guthries and the Gadderts and that group over there be group number one. I'd like to give you Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, okay? So I'd like you to read that together, kind of summarize that together, and then kind of report back. The main question I want you to look at there is, how does this all fit into the great scheme of things, God's overall plan for the nations? Okay? I would like the first three rows of these middle sections to get together and be a group. Okay, I'd like to give you Psalm 89, not the whole chapter, but verses 1 through 4 and verses 30 through 37. I'd like you to take a look at that and tell us how this contributes to the overall story. Okay, the overall story, God's big picture. Okay. Then I'd like the last two rows back there to be a group. And I'd like to give you Psalm 16, 8 through 11. So you have four verses there. Tell us how this all fits together in the big scheme of things. Okay? One, two, three. So I'll have you three in group two and the back two rows in group three. Okay? This group over here, okay? I'm going to give you Psalm 110, 1 through 6. What do you, read it, discuss it, tell us how this might fit into the grand scheme of things as far as God's plan for the nations, his overall story. Okay, what questions do you have? Are you all understanding what we're going to do here? This is an opportunity for you to kind of look at these scriptures, kind of like we just did with 2 Samuel 7. Read it, kind of discuss it, summarize it, and then report back to our main group here the overall plan for how that might fit in. Okay, any questions? Okay, once you divide up, read it, summarize it, tell us in a few short sentences how it all fits together. Okay, let's. You're welcome to stay in your groups. We're going to hear from each of us now. Who is going to be the spokesperson for group number one here?
Okay, everyone point.
You?
Okay. We had Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, and this was just a continuation. It's reassuring the people of the coming kingdom. Talks about their, you know, living in darkness, which alludes to the sin and everything. And of course, the good answer for any Sunday school question is, you know, who is this? Who's going to do this? The name is Jesus. That's always the Sunday school answer, right? So anyway, it talks about the first coming of Jesus, a child, and then the second coming is when he sets everything up. And it's actually as it talks about here, because obviously right now we can look around and we don't see any of this happening. All we see is the darkness of sin. Reminds us of the scripture that says, and they will call evil good and good evil right now. But anyway, that's pretty much it, what we come up with for that.
Great, great. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, group number one. Here's some things that I wrote down. This prophecy says that this Messiah, the King, will be born in David's line. He will come from Galilee. It points out there that he is going to come from the north, those two nations up there. It refers to him as Mighty Father or Mighty God, Eternal Father. What is that referring to? Mighty God, Eternal Father. Any guesses on that? Very good. He is both God and man. He is going to be both God and man. Mighty God, Eternal Father. And then this reemphasizes that the king will rule over David's throne and kingdom for a little while? No. What, David?
Forever.
Very good. Okay. Thank you, group one. Group number two had Psalm 89, early and late in the psalm. So who would like to speak up for... I'm going to come to you. There you go.
Well, our answer again is Jesus. No. basically, we just come that, you know, this is a continuation of what God promised Abraham, for one. He's going to establish all the nations through him. He's going to bless them all, land. And now he's continued that through David and his line of being all nations blessed through him. And also just mainly God, just David, and then God just coming here and saying, I am faithful that what I promised I will fulfill. And he says that in many areas there. And then we just took a lot of things in here. This just talks about not only Israel, but us. If his sons abandon my law, we're going to abandon his law. And we're all guilty. And then Ephesians 2 talked about that we are now as Gentiles who weren't even to be blessed are now brought into that through Christ. So you see that being accomplished through here, through God's faithfulness, his promises, and that he's continuing that story that started with Abraham, now through the Abrahamic covenant, through the Davidic covenant, on to where he's going to be blessing people through the one that he's going to punish because we're not able to take and fulfill the law. Anything else you guys want to add to that?
Specifically bring up what you said about the stripes or being disciplined with the rod.
Oh, yeah. It says in here that, and I will punish their wrongdoings with the rod and their guilt with afflictions. And that's what Christ did. Even though he did send Israel into slavery through nations, it was still, this is being fulfilled about that he did punish somebody with the rod for us. You know, he made him to be, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. We might become the righteous of God through him. And so that's Jesus. That's who was accomplished by that. And then I do like that last one about he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, the God-man that came and did what we couldn't do through the line of David.
Good.
Forever.
Good. Good. Thank you, Group 2. They mentioned covenant. So again, a covenant is an agreement, a contract. And so God is initiating these contracts. And David is blessed with just some wonderful promises regarding this. And so one of which is, remember when it was referred to as his house, God referred to his house. That's his lineage. That means that the Messiah would come from David's seed, David's not his ancestors, but his children and children's children, and eventually to the Christ. Okay. I think that kind of covers it. Good, Group 2. All right, we're going to move on to Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And this group right here had that. So, what did David understand when he wrote, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Psalm 16? What did David understand that was going to happen here?
So, basically in Psalm 16, 8 through 11, it's from the beginning to the end that God wants us to, he wants us, so he's always pursuing us and redeeming us, so that we will have our faith in Christ. Sorry, I can't read my own notes. We have security. Gosh. I can't read my own notes.
Well, I think God is not going to abandon us.
Right, God's not going to abandon us. We have security. When it says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, it's the we're talking about the crucifixion, that he paid the price for us so that we aren't condemned. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay is talking about the resurrection, when Jesus died and was resurrected, and that you will make known to me the way of life. He gave us scripture and the Holy Spirit. And in the end it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. He's talking about eternal life. So this passage really starts from the beginning to the end, that we are going to, as long as we walk with God, believe in him, and have faith, then we will be with him forever and have eternal life.
Okay. Excellent. So now we're learning more about God's overall plan, and David in this passage, and this psalm reveals that there's going to be the Holy One who will suffer death but will not stay dead, will not undergo decay. He will be raised up. He'll be built up. A wonderful passage is Romans chapter 6, where it talks about we're crucified with Christ, and we undergo his death, and we share with him in his resurrection. So the wonderful hope we have as believers is death is not the end. Just like death was not the end for the Messiah, he rose from the dead, we will raise with him in newness of life. And so what a wonderful promise that David understood there and communicated that in his psalm. And lastly, we want to look at Psalm 110, 1 through 6. A little bit more is revealed about the overall story. So who would like to be our spokesperson? Gracie? Okay.
Oh my God, it's such a little mic. So in Psalms 110 through 1 through 6, it's Jesus talking. He says, "The Lord says to my Lord," and he made a promise just like in Group 2. He said, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind." It's the same same promise that God made to Abraham and David. And it also says he will judge among the nations, which is all the nations. He will, in the end, he will judge everyone. And that's still a prophecy that he has made, hasn't fulfilled it yet. And it also says, until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. That's also another prophecy that was in this. And he was just kind of telling us about the end and all of his prophecies that he had. And it's still a prophecy that hasn't occurred yet. We are still waiting for God to fulfill his promise.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Tracy, thank you. Anything else from this group? Did a good job with that. This is the fun passage, and I kind of sat in on their group when they were talking about when Jesus himself reiterated this very passage to the Pharisees. And he says, you know, how is it that David called his own seed Lord? How can you do that? And that perplexed them no end. They could not come to grips with that. David understood that this future king would sit at the right hand of God. And so who would that be? That'd be the Messiah, wouldn't it? Jesus would be the Messiah. And what did David call his seed? This is so intriguing. What did David call his seed? Yes, he said, "My Lord." So just a fun passage there. And wanted to point these out. Again, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus explained to them about him from the law, from the Psalms. We read some Psalms today, from the prophets about him being the Messiah. Okay, so let's just kind of review here and find my notes. First of all, I think we want to understand that David's intent originally was to build a house for the Lord. The Lord says, "I'm going to build you a house." And again, his house was the lineage or the seed. His kingdom would be established forever. This was not just something that was a fleeting thing. The kingdom would be established forever, ever and ever. So I think that's this group here had that. Pleasures forevermore. The king over this kingdom would be an extension of David's throne. A king from the line of David would reign over this everlasting kingdom. So now we have some more to the story, don't we? We had Abraham learning about the fact that God would make him a great nation, use him to become a great nation, a nation that would be blessed. He would give him a land. And then Moses. Moses in Exodus that we read last week was given the law. This nation was to be a holy law. It was to be an attractive nation, not just a nation that would come and go, but a nation that would reflect the character of the Lord. So the law was given. And did they obey the law? No, they didn't do a very good job in that. So God said in Deuteronomy that he would change their hearts. And so we can't obey the law in our flesh. And so he is going to grant us his spirit, change our hearts. And he does that through a right relationship with his son, as we know now. And then this week, we kind of learned again that he's really pinpointing now the fact that the Messiah would come through David's line. So we're narrowing the story, aren't we? We have some stories within the story, but the overall story is God's plan of salvation for his people. So again, Jesus on the road said, these things must be fulfilled. And so we, in our time, have had some wonderful blessings, haven't we? We have learned, up until now, they didn't know Jesus' name. They just knew he'd be the Messiah, he'd be the Christ. Jesus is showing that he was the Messiah by many proofs. And we're seeing the foretelling of the Messiah in the passages that we read today. And we're blessed, I think, because we now know about Jesus did fulfill so many of those prophecies. There's a few more to go, but he fulfilled every prophecy pointing to the Messiah by many ways. And as we read through the New Testament, we see those many ways that he has fulfilled that. Okay, any questions? We're kind of moving pretty fast through this. Our time is probably fleeting here, but any questions that anyone has? What I'd like to do, we have 7 minutes left, so I'd like you just to close in a word of prayer in your group, and then you'll be dismissed. But let's thank God that his plan is glorious. It's a mystery. Again, in Pastor Phil's sermon today, we'll hear about that such mystery, that we in our own wisdom and our understanding could not figure out a plan of salvation, couldn't save ourselves. God did reveal that through his Son, through his Word, through the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and let's thank God for, yeah.
Tell me, if you got enough, from Abraham to David, was it about 2,000 years? And from David to Jesus, was it about that same time frame? Is that about right? And so now from Jesus to where we're at, it's about 2,000. So just what God says, I got promises to keep.
Mm-hmm.
I make promises, or I got a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, it was a mystery, as you just mentioned, for about 4,000 years, to at least 2,000 years, before the Messiah was revealed, really 4,000 from Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So how sometimes we think about, come on, God, what are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
But to God, a day is a thousand years, there's no time frame with God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is before him.
Mm-hmm.
So being patient with God, he is a covenant keeping God, and his kingdom is established. I think today, if you young guys get older, you'll say, okay, Lord, why don't you come today? I'd like to have you come to just be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a lot of years we're talking about. Our country is only 250 years old. And so 4,000 years. It's really been almost 6,000 years, or 4,000 years to today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I
maybe
love,
it would have been 1,000 years from.
I love the passage that this group had. You know, you're going to see a great light. That light's going to come from those two northern areas, Naphtali and the other one, and Galilee, basically. You're going to see a great light. A great light is going to come. And that was foretold many, many centuries before Jesus appeared in Galilee. So just a great about it. Great news. They were anticipating the Messiah for a long time, like Tom said. All right, let's just close in a word of prayer. In your groups, have one or two just volunteer to close as a group, and then we'll be dismissed.